sweat technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We are The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Texans traded for Stephon Diggs today. They used the second-round pick next year that they got from Minnesota. They also acquired a fifth- and a sixth-round pick, one of them this year, one of them next year. So technically, the Texans traded down 19 spots and acquired Stephon Diggs. There's a few sweeteners attached to the back end. I'm not worried about rounds 5 through 7. So the Texans traded 23 to 242 and then got Stephon Diggs as part of that as well. We talked about it earlier. Fan base really excited. What does this do for you in terms of being a Super Bowl contender? Where do the Texans stack up in terms of that conversation?
To me, I think to be the best, you got to beat the best. I think that if you're looking at just in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl, I think that they are on that next tier below the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are on a tier all by themselves. They're sitting in a place based on what they've just done to deserve to be there until someone knocks them off. But I think that they sit on that tier right below the Chiefs, along with the Ravens and probably the Bengals, to me, in terms of the other teams that I think could actually upset or defeat the Kansas City Chiefs. I think other teams like the Bills making the trade took a step back. The Chargers losing a lot of talent, even no matter what Harbaugh brings to the table, I don't think they're there yet. I think that they have taken a massive leap to be right firmly in that second tier. And as it relates to the teams on the tier, I think they can compete with the Bengals. I think that with what Baltimore lost in the offseason and what the Texans have gained makes me believe that they can beat the Baltimore Ravens. However, Henry is an interesting wrinkle, but they lost a significant portion of their offensive line. I think the Texans are right there.
Yeah, I don't think that it does a ton for Buffalo. Diggs didn't do anything for them in the final 2 months of the year.
No, but overall what they've lost this offseason, they've taken some hits.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts them in the receiver room, though. I think they'll be fine, and their defense is still good. And Allen's one of those unique quarterbacks where it really doesn't matter a whole lot, the receivers around him. Like, either he's going to throw guys open or he's going to throw interceptions. So Allen is one of those quarterbacks I don't think necessarily needs fantastic receiver play. And again, Diggs had games last year where he played 30% of the snaps. I believe that the Houston Texans are a Super Bowl contender. I look at what they have offensively, and I think that they have, at worst, a top 10 offense. I would even say it's a top 5 offense. Stroud in his second year, Nico second year after a breakout, Tank Dell his second year, hopefully he's fully healthy. He's fully healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy. Stephon Diggs, happy, has been super productive every single year of his career. You've added, I think, an upgrade at running back, even though I'm not as high on Joe Mixon as you are. You brought back Dalton Schultz. You still have the draft to play with. So I think that they have a top 5 offense. I also would say, at worst, they have a top 10 defense that could be top 5-ish. I feel more confident about the offense than I do the defense. But you brought in a guy who gets to the quarterback in Danielle Hunter. Autry, I think, is going to be an underrated pickup. I love the Al Shire move at middle linebacker because he has speed, can cover the field sideline to sideline. I think the Texans have a top 5, top 10 offense. I think they have a top 10. Top 5 seems like a reach defensively. And if you have two sides of your ball that are both in the top 10, I think you're a Super Bowl contender. They also have the quarterback. They have the head coach. I look for that core on my Super Bowl contenders. Give me a really good head coach. Give me a really good quarterback. Now they have that. They have a top 10 offense. They have a top 10 defense. Absolutely, the Houston Texans are Super Bowl contenders.
Brian, I don't know if you're going to chime in. My big thing is to rebuttal all that. I don't disagree with you, but you got to beat the Chiefs
We're talking about contenders, not champs.
I know, but as I pointed out, I also think that Baltimore beat you twice last year. So that's why I think that they are – I would still put them, even though Baltimore had the best record in the NFL in the regular season, I'd put them right there with Baltimore. I would slide just a tick behind them, but on the same tier, Cincinnati. But I think that they will have a fighting chance to get to a Super Bowl.
Wouldn't they be a contender then? If they have a fighting chance to get to the Super Bowl, wouldn't they be a contender?
Yeah, but in terms of like how I'm layering who's the number one contender versus the other guys in the field, I think the
sounds like you're not
Chiefs
willing to put
above.
Them on the top tier,
right,
or maybe the second tier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, and that's kind of what Vegas has. Vegas has them tied with the Ravens as the third favorite to win the Super Bowl, behind only the Chiefs and the 49ers, which look, I am optimistic. I am excited about the Houston Texans, but the Houston Texans played two games at the Ravens last year, scored zero touchdowns. So you got to ask yourself, is having Tank Dell, I mean, Tank Dell is healthy for the first one, but is having Tank Dell back and then adding Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon, his whatever his upgrade is over Devin Singletary, is that enough to overcome the gap there versus the Ravens? Because it wasn't a small gap between them and the Ravens last year. I know first halves of those games were fairly close, but in the end, it was a massive difference between the two teams.
Yeah, it's hard
especially
for me to,
in Baltimore.
Yeah, that one was massive. The week one game didn't matter to me. Like, that's C.J. Stroud's first ever NFL game. That to me, you're throwing that one out. And they actually hung around defensively in the first half. It was like, what, a one-possession game, two-point game,
something
like that?
It was 7-6 at half.
One-point game.
It was 7-6.
Yeah, so I don't put much weight in the week one. Now, playoffs, you have to put a lot of weight in. Like, I'll concede you have to put a lot of weight on that one. But you also look at the additions and what you think of the development for the Houston Texans. I think it's high. I have them in contendership for a Super Bowl. Certainly, you have to be the man. In order to be the man, you got to beat the man. That's Kansas City. Back-to-back champions. There you go. A little Ric Flair. Or Reddick, if you want to go the Reddick route. I have the Texans right there, though. I don't mind them being third Super Bowl odds. I do feel like they're shortchanging Baltimore, though. I'd probably have them below
soon?
Baltimore. No, I don't think so.
Did the Ravens lose both their guards?
I have no idea.
On the line, I think they lost both their guards. And obviously, with a run-heavy team that relied on an offensive line, they got to replace those guys. But, yeah, I mean, look, they have an extra weapon now with Lamar if Henry's got anything left in the tank. So
B. Hannon says third in the AFC. He says that on the twitch.tv/ESPN975. Okay, I'm sure he's probably saying Kansas City, Baltimore, Houston.
I would think so.
Ahead of Cincinnati,
I would guess so.
Yeah.
I think I'd still put Cincinnati ahead of Houston. I think people have completely forgotten what Joe Burrow was before Joe Burrow got hurt.
Yeah, I think he's very similar to Stroud. Stroud's more.
But a lot of people
athletic.
Are going to tell you that they beat the Joe Burrowed Bengals last year.
Fine. Yeah, I mean, if you're throwing out Baltimore beat the Texans in the playoffs, why couldn't the Texan fans say that, well, the Texans beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati?
It is fair.
It's
it is
absolutely
fair.
Valid. Burrow was healthy, like Blankers mentioned. Like, he was still playing, and they had all their guys.
I know. Burrow has just done, though, what we are hoping the Texans can go do. He's gone to Buffalo and won in a snowstorm. Yeah. He's gone into Kansas City and won a playoff game. I think there's been maybe some recency bias of not seeing Joe Burrow and his weapons at full strength that has maybe made people forget how good the Bengals were just a couple of years ago.
713-780-ESPN. Are the Texans in that contendership status for you? 713-780-3776. Also, where do they rank offensively in the NFL? Where do you have them? I think that they could flirt with being in the top five. I think the lowest bar is top 10. What do you think? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from mybookie.ag. Hey, it's the best sports book that I know of. That you can go to and place all the wagers while they take care of you basically every step of the way. It's a one-stop shop for all your sports betting and your casino needs if you're looking for that live casino experience without getting in your car and driving or getting on a plane and flying to a casino somewhere. They are fantastic. And now you can take your viewing experience to the next level with real-time live betting that lets you stream and bet the games right from the mybookie.ag website. You can sign up right now at mybookie.ag using our promo code BET975 and get a generous welcome bonus on your first deposit, all the way up to $1,000. For instance, you put $200 in, you automatically get $300 in your account ready to play using that promo code BET975. Fun doesn't stop there. When you're on the website, you'll get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions to help you decide who you want to put your money on. And even when those games aren't going on, there's always those live dealers standing by with the casino games like poker and blackjack too. Best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere using that always critical promo code BET975. Secure your welcome bonus today only with MyBookie.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Contendership. Are the Texans there? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Andy, you're in the hive with the Bees. What's up, Andy?
Yeah, the Texans are the new Astros.
Okay.
3 years. And now they knocked on the door last year, and now with all the new moves, they'll be contenders for a long time.
Okay. There we go.
Appreciate the call, Andy.
Just think about it. You don't have to extend. They'll probably extend Will and CJ on the fourth year. But by then, you've got all kinds of money coming off. I mean, tons of money. Mason will be gone. Howard will be gone. Tons will be gone. Diggs will be gone. I mean, there's all kind of money to be gone, man. And that's going to be Nick's deal the next
Andy, let me ask you a question, Andy. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You have the Texans winning two Super Bowls in the next 7 years.
I got them going two at least. Well,
they got to win two if they're the new Astros. They got to win two.
What? You know what? Hell, let's say it.
Let's do it.
Put that down. Put that down.
Yeah.
But let me ask you. I mean, look what they've done, and he's not done yet. I mean, he's either going to extend Nico,
yeah,
or he's going to get a defensive tackle before the draft comes. I just hope finally people will stop getting on Nick's butt. D'Amico made Nico go get CJ. No, I think they both got together and they figured out, hey, this guy can play. This is the guy we want.
Love the call, Andy. I love the fire. Andy said we're going to Jacksonville. We're going to Tennessee. We're going to Indianapolis. We're going to Kansas City. We're going to Buffalo. We're going to Baltimore. We're going to take over the NFL.
Settle down, Howard Dean.
Does that mean they're also going to four Super Bowls and winning two of them?
That's right.
Okay.
That's we're in. It's football time in Houston. Okay. And the
fire
Texans
the
are ready
Walker.
To play. Texans are ready to play.
I don't suggest that Andy listen to that last read that I did going into break, because it could be costly for him if he wants to bet on that.
When the Texans make the Super Bowl, can we get Clay Walkerson in the national anthem?
As long as you drive that thing smooth.
why are you so anti-hot takes? Why can't Andy have his moment? Two Super Bowls next 7 years. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Not anti. I just wouldn't bet on it.
Okay.
I wouldn't put a lot of money on it.
I got you. It sounds anti.
Okay, great.
Sounds a little anti. A little wet blanker on that idea.
That's a little bit of idea.
Wet blanket. Yes.
A little wet blanker on the idea a little bit.
Write that down as a wheel a bit.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listening. Like, two Super Bowls, 7 years, I don't know. Hopefully, that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be awesome. I do agree the arrow's pointing up on this organization.
For
like,
sure.
I think that this is a perennial playoff team and a perennial Super Bowl contender as long as you have D'Amico and Stroud. So I do believe that. I'm not too far off where Andy's at. I'll be honest.
And I think Andy needs to – he forgets quickly, and that's fine. But before the CJ draft, there was a lot of people, including myself, that were watching Nick Caserio closely because there were a lot of moves that you could easily question. But now they're in a position where – and what he's done this year – has made everybody kind of change their stance and or look at it differently, and I'm happy about that. Now, there's a couple factors that go into a run this long, and obviously health is first and foremost. But when you look at it, we had the discussion a few weeks ago, but when you think about the greatest free agent acquisition this team has had prior to this, yeah, there was a couple, but you're not really going, wow, wow, wow. This whole offseason has been a wow.
I mean, when they brought in John Weeks, it was a wow for me, future Ring of Honor member. Mm-hmm. John Weeks, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Poor Marine says, what did he say here? Let me find it. Diggs is a cancer, and they will regret this. Maybe a bit strong, but Buffalo is probably saying that. Bills fans are probably saying that today. I do think it's worth the conversation. Let's assume Diggs has the same issues he had with Buffalo. He's just perennially unhappy. He just does, he's disgruntled all the time. What's the worst thing that can happen? Like, you cut him and you lose a second-round pick. Like, that's not a huge risk. The reward here, and there's risk with Stephon Diggs. I'm not going to deny that. Poor Marine's point's a good one. Paul was talking about it on his show. We mentioned the numbers in his final seven regular season games. Some people might call it risk. Some people were saying it's fine. I think it's fair to call it risk, and there is some risk there. But the reward outweighs the risk by 10 times, in my opinion, that this is an easy trade for Nick Caserio.
You look at it, and it's the potential return on investment that makes this so exciting for so many people. And when I was thinking about it this morning, I was thinking, well, if it's going to be a volatile situation, it's a Brandon Cooks-like situation. But guess what? I think Diggs has more in the tank, is still more talented than whatever Brandon Cooks had at that point that he was a Texan. And I think on top of that, You obviously have a quarterback in C.J. Stroud that I think is better than what you had, no matter when it was and who was quarterbacking the Houston Texans, to where, and if you add to all that, the fact that they have weapons all across the board right now, and Diggs sees this as a potential special opportunity for the next year or two to try and really do what Andy thinks they're going to do, to where I think at least for the next year or two, I think he's going to mind his P's and Q's. I don't think he's going to be an issue. Now, as a diva wide receiver, if he doesn't get the ball, is there going to be times when he acts up? Probably.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. My kitchen is dirty on the Twitch. If my quarterback constantly bad word the bed in the playoffs, I'd be disgruntled too. It's a good point there. My kitchen is dirty. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Matt, you're in the hive with the bees. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I have a question for you guys. So if you had to pick, you know, the one star offensive player that they're going to get, do you think, or would you have picked Diggs, or if there was like a picture, hey, we got to get one, if it was Diggs, Barkley, or Henry, which one of the three would you went with?
Okay. Diggs, Barkley, Henry. Now, to me is apples to oranges.
Yeah, you got Mixon in the mix. Obviously, Mixon has to at least be a possibility, right, because they traded for him.
Well, I think he's saying if you had one move to make that's kind of your big move offensively, which of the three would you like the most?
Like going back to where you were in February, yeah. Like I mean, you're trying to plan it out.
The Texans told you plan A at running back was Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. Like they were negotiating with Barkley, and they got beat out by Philadelphia. They themselves have told you, according to reports from Aaron Wilson, 99% of the time it's true, that they wanted Saquon Barkley. They finished second. They were the bridesmaid to Saquon Barkley, and they went with plan B, Joe Mixon. So they prioritized Barkley to a certain cost higher than they prioritize Joe Mixon. So I think that's where he's coming from there.
So I think that if you think that and take that logic into a consideration, then it's would you have rather had Saquon Barkley or would you rather had a combination of Mixon and Diggs? I would take the combination of Mixon and Diggs, and I would let Saquon
I mean, you're kind of repurposing the question. Like, he's saying you get one swing at a key offensive player. Which one would you want the most?
I mean, I would... they still ended up with a running back that I'm pleased with, and they didn't have to spend the money on Saquon. You're right. They were targeting Saquon. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but you could have gotten, like, Saquon and Hunter Renfro. Like, you don't know the collateral move. Like, you get your one prize of those three. Who is the one prize that you would want the most?
Well, and I think that Saquon is the easy choice because of his age and because he's in his prime and because whether it's injuries or otherwise, I think he's got plenty left. That Saquon would be the choice. I think Derrick Henry's out of this conversation for me, but I like what they've done. I love the combination of everything that they all the guys they brought in.
I'd probably go Saquon.
I would go with Diggs. I mean, I get that obviously Saquon would be maybe their most talented running back since Arian Foster, but I just see the running back production, especially coming off a year where you paid $5 million to Singletary and he was good enough. I just see the running back production as being more easily replaced than something that Stephon Diggs could bring to the table. And I think your upside as an offense is higher with a dynamic wide receiver potentially like Diggs and what that does paired with Nico and Tank than a running back does.
Would you rather have Keenan Allen or Stephon Diggs?
Diggs.
I'll go Allen there. I feel Allen's...
I think, look, he's
Allen was great last year, but
he's safer.
Hasn't he been dinged up?
He missed the last like 3-4 games last year, and then he missed like 7 games the year before that. So yeah, he's I think he's a year older, and he's had more injury problems. I would still go Diggs.
I think he's safer though.
When he's on the field.
Well, I'm talking about you've never heard stuff. Yeah, the theme of the day. Like we've never heard of Keenan Allen ever.
That's
having a dispute with
fair.
His team mm-hmm. or being disgruntled, very good professional, all of those things. Allen at times can be a bit dinged up, missed 4 games this year, missed 7 games last year. They're about the same age, though. Allen's 1 year older than Diggs.
Okay. I definitely think the safer move is Allen. I think I trust that Diggs has a little bit more left in the tank.
That's why I would go with Diggs, because I think you could get 2 years of
the Allen was also cheaper because he cost a fourth. Now you got beat out. You didn't
right.
win it, yeah, so maybe it cost you more than a fourth. Maybe it's a fourth and sweeteners. So you could have had Allen for fourth and sweeteners or Diggs for a second.
Yeah,
I'd probably go Allen, to be honest.
If you're just factoring in the likelihood of when a drop-off is going to happen, Allen being a year older, you would expect it to happen for him first, and so I'll take 2 years, hypothetically, of Diggs versus potentially just one of Allen.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. I think it's a good question. Now, I'm not unhappy. Let's be very clear. I'm totally cool with what the Texans did.
Keenan was great last year.
Did Allen get 2 years in Chicago?
I didn't see the terms on the extension. You have Google on that computer?
Yeah, okay, you're just loading up late. it was just because we were in the heat of a conversation. You got Diggs under contract too, and you can get out of it if you need to. But I think it's affordable still at what he signed for. I don't mind the fact that at least it's not where he was kind of, you know, shaking.
He got a 2-year extension with a restructured 24.
Okay.
So we don't know what an extension for Diggs will look like. I expect Diggs to get an extension, though. I prefer Allen, but barely. Like, I'm not like, oh, they should have got – I'm not going to lose my mind over it. I'm really happy with Stephon Diggs. I think this offense is going to take off and be very, very good. So it's just throwing it out there for a good little conversation. Now, the Texans, I think, assuming health, will have to cut a wide receiver because I don't think that you're going into next season with 7 guys on your 53-man roster. You currently right now, and I'm not counting Steven Mims because he's kind of a practice squad specialist guy. Diggs, Nico, Tank, Woods, Brown, Mechie, Hutchinson. That's 7. One's got to go. Assuming health. Because one guy can get hurt in camp and you can put him on PUP and keep all of the guys. But assuming health, they all get through camp healthy. Assuming they're all with the team during camp. Who's the guy that you're getting rid of?
Man, I think it's Woods. I think because it's just, he goes away. The $5 million may factor in. But I would understand if it's one of the young guys, because if you're in true go-for-it mode, you got a guy that's an experienced NFL wide receiver that's, like you said, if it's an injury, you know that he's a guy capable of still stepping in. I don't know to what level he's got left in the tank, but I believe Woods is the odd man out. I think Woods is going to go.
Yeah. I would cut, as soon as I make this trade official, I would cut Woods. Hey, we talk about like certain positions that you can get better at. Like maybe you can't find a starting left guard for $5 million, but maybe you can find a guy who can at least compete with Kenyon Green. I think you can play the safety game a little bit with whoever's left out at the position. Save the $5 million from Robert Woods and go find, even if it's not a starting safety, maybe a third safety that can push Jimmy Ward or gives you better insurance in case Jimmy Ward goes down.
Yeah, I think that $5 million is important right now.
As soon as this trade's official, I'm cutting Robert Woods using that $5 million elsewhere.
I didn't see anything that from Xavier Hutchinson to me that says I want him on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, and really, I didn't see it from Mechie either, but the draft capital spent on Mechie, I think, is going to buy him the tiebreaker, if not even more than that. So, yeah, look, I mean, you had injury problems last year with Noah Brown got hurt. Obviously, Tank Dell got hurt. Nico missed a couple games. I'd rather have the guy in Robert Woods, despite the difference in the cost, that I have better feelings about being able to step in and actually give me some production. Because as you guys said, I mean, this is a team clearly in win-now mode. I mean, Stephon Diggs is, what, 30, 31 years old? Joe Mixon is, I think, 20. He'll be 28 when the season starts. They're in win-now mode. I don't have time to wait for Hutchinson to develop. I'd rather have Robert Woods.
The other thing with Hutchinson is that, you know, you could practice squad him, and he has the best chance of landing on the practice squad. Of course, to practice squad a guy, you got to clear waivers. And then once you're on the practice squad, any team in the NFL could sign that guy if they put him on under 53. You're not going to do that with somebody you love, but maybe you do it with someone that you like but don't love. And maybe they're at like with Hutchinson but not love with Hutchinson, and they try to go that route to try to sneak him onto the practice squad, but also knowing the risk that somebody else could pick him up.
Yeah, I think they're intrigued by his physical traits. I think the detriment would be there's questions about his hands. But you're right. I think there's a guy that could slide through waivers and you could put on your practice squad and you can hide him. But I agree with you, B-Mac. I can understand. I think Woods is going to go, but I can totally understand if you're in true go-for-it mode, you've got a NFL-proven wide receiver still on your roster that can help you if there's an injury.
713-780-ESPN. Are the Texans a contender after today's move? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now I want to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows, because if you're looking for windows at an affordable price, there's only one place to go. I just did this. I went to Allstate and I got the greatest windows. They upgrade the overall appearance of your house immediately. And I mean, the curb appeal is awesome. But then when you start factoring in the fact that you could save up to 40% on your energy bills, and they're going to protect you and keep the elements away from your house like hurricane season while keeping the coolant in the summer and the warmth in the winter, this is a no-brainer. And they are the best in the business because they've been in Houston for almost 50 years. They take care of you because they care about Houstonians, and they always got deals going on right now. 30% off on windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job, too, if you want to do the actual double whammy and get the siding and the windows to really hyper-protect your house. Free estimates are always available. Family run for four generations. Mary handles everything back at the headquarters. Mike, her brother, gets out there, talks to you, tells you exactly how they can help and what you basically need to do. All it takes to start the process, call them, 832-204-1936. 832-204-1936. Or get them online at allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I am Branham. 4958, having all 54 windows on our house done by Allstate right now. Great people and great service. Mary and Jimmy are awesome. Two exclamation points. Saints Patrick, that's cool to hear. That's
awesome.
That's
great. They're really great people.
That's shop ESPN 97.5. I bet you that's not Nick Caserio texting in. 54 windows, the Caserio house, doubtful. I don't believe that at all.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of windows.
It's a
low-key flex.
Yeah, no, not even a low-key flex.
How many windows do you have in your house? Maybe three up front.
I would say
I'm doing the math in my head.
7, 8, 9, 10.
You have to include like the windows around the front door. Some if you have those, half
windows. I wouldn't count those. 12,
you do have to. I'm just 13, telling you from experience. 14. If you want them replaced,
I have 14.
I was going to say definitely less than 30.
14 windows.
I know. I'm doing the math in my head. I've got four across the front, two down. One on each side, and then four across the back. So that'd be. That'd be 12.
I think I have 14. How many windows do you have in your home? 713-780-53
definitely feels like a flex.
54.
Oh, I got 54. Less than 30.
54. He's got 54 windows. I bet you his home is a couple million dollars.
I don't.
$2 million.
Not in Houston.
I mean, if he needs
54 windows.
Yeah. Because I'm telling
if
you,
if it's inside the loop, it's $2 million.
Those little fan-shaped windows above the door, or
those count.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
If he lives inside the loop with 54 windows, he's got a $2 million home.
Yeah,
the suburbs are a little bit more affordable. I'll give you that. How many windows have you broken on the golf course?
Zero.
Zero? What a rookie. I mean, I've broken at least a dozen.
If he has windows broken and needs replaced, I mean, you should probably call Allstate Siding Windows.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
No doubt. He did.
Evidently, and they're glad he did.
He says I was shocked.
Windows later.
He says I was shocked. Trust me, didn't seem like that many. Not an intentional flex. It was an accidental flex. The window that I broke that was the hardest one to break. Par three, hole number one, April Sound. There was a house. It's like a 2.5-story house, and the top like half story had a triangular window that was probably 3 feet wide at the base, and probably about 3 feet tall. That's it. Million to one shot. I got it off the hosel. I shanked it right into that 2.5-story window.
Did you have to buy the window?
I did not, because if you're an owner that lives on a golf course, you assume the risk.
Now I've seen whether that's clearly stated everywhere or not. I've seen homeowners go after golfers.
Oh, they'll go after them, sure.
Yeah, and try and track them down and then try and hold them accountable. And
yeah, I would definitely say that's, it's at your own risk at that point. If you buy the home with it backing up to the golf course, that would feel like that would be in the fine print of the HOA contract.
By law, that's a law,
okay,
I think.
Okay.
I certainly act that way whenever I do it. But you're right, homeowners will come at you bad.
Man.
But, hey, I'm sorry. You take on the risk.
Smartest thing the homeowner can do is get some of that netting.
Now, I have broken a window with a golf ball away from a golf course.
Just practice.
It was a little bit of a game. And we were chipping into the jacuzzi, and I got one over the fence and into a side window. No comment. 713-780-3776. Keith on the line wants to tell us how many windows he has. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line for Keith. Keith, how many windows do you have?
Hey guys, 2-story house. I did the hard math. I've got 38 total windows.
It's a flex.
38.
It's a flex there, Keith. How much is your house appraised for, you think?
A light flex. Just a light flex. Just 38, though.
Appreciate it. Keith's 38 windows, though, in the 1990s. Appreciate the call, Keith. How many windows does Nick Caserio have?
He doesn't believe 54. In windows.
He has none. Exactly. He doesn't know what a window is.
Oh, well, he lives in his office. I get what you're saying, but I think
it's not what we're saying. Remember, he said he doesn't know what a window is.
Oh, that's right.
He doesn't know what a window is. He has zero windows in his house.
So when he calls Allstate signing of windows, how long back and forth does he have to go with the sales rep before he finally gets him to say, I need this many windows replaced?
I need those clear things that may allow me to see outside from the house.
He will not say the word window.
I have 52 increments that I need fixed.
Increments of space filled with glass.
Glass increments that are usually rectangular. 8268, Texans are absolutely contenders. They have the best offensive lineup of playmakers in the league. Nobody's better than the lineup of Stroud, Diggs, Collins, Tank, Mixon, Schultz. Now Nick can focus on mostly defensive draft picks. I am curious to see how they handle the draft now. I like that they can go best player available. I wouldn't hate if they go offense, especially at left guard. From a skill position point of view, they're up there.
Philly's
really good with A.J. Brown.
Devontae and A.J.
Saquon. I think the Texans have the advantage of quarterback. But skill position,
right.
Yes.
And I also think third receiver matters, right?
Sure.
San Francisco,
I would give the Eagles the slight edge, I think. Barely over the Texans. San Francisco, yes.
Because you throw Kittle in the middle. Yeah, you throw Kittle.
That's really good. Both of those are NFC teams. I wouldn't go Miami. I wouldn't. Miami's really good up top.
Achane was dynamic last year.
Yeah, he was. Mostert, like top five in the league in rushing?
Well, he was like 18. I think he had 18 rushing touchdowns last year.
He got two good backs. He got two really, really good wide receivers. I think you're right. You get the advantage of the quarterback to the Texans.
Sure, but he's going just straight skill. Miami's up there. Mm-hmm. Miami's up there. Buffalo, no. New England, no. Jets are low key pretty good.
They are.
Garrett Wilson.
Breece Hall.
Yeah, to Mike Williams.
Brought in Mike Williams.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Nobody in the division. Colts,
Seattle.
No. Jags, no. Titans, no.
Seattle, low key. You got DK, the Kenneth Walker.
You drafted Charbonnet last year.
You drafted Charbonnet. You still have JSN.
That's right.
It was a rookie last year. They kept Tyler Lockett still.
Let's see. Vegas with Devontae. They lost their running back. No.
Nah.
Broncos, definitely not. Chargers traded all their receivers away. Chiefs, no. Chiefs don't
Dallas
have the weapons.
Dallas doesn't have a running game.
Yeah, I was looking more AFC.
Oh.
And then what's the other division? Baltimore. Odell's gone. They brought in Henry, Bateman. You have Quentin Flowers. That's pretty good. They have Mark Andrews. That's pretty good. Cincinnati has Chase.
Yeah, Henry in the backfield helps them immensely.
As of now, they have Higgins. Mm-hmm. Which helps them. Their running back play maybe dropped off a little bit with the Peter Mixon, but they were glad.
You don't
to do
know
that.
Who their running back is. Higgins is probably not going to be there. I would put them a step below.
Browns and Njoku, Chubb hurt.
Buffalo, no.
Amari, mentioned Buffalo when I went through the East. Who's Cleveland's second? They brought
Judy.
In a second receiver. That's
Judy.
Right, Judy. They traded.
Yeah.
I don't love Judy though.
No, Texans Pittsburgh. Have a better second wide receiver than Jerry Judy.
Pittsburgh traded Johnson.
Not Pittsburgh. They traded Deontay Johnson.
Najee's all right. Samuels is all right. Yeah, Steelers know though.
Their line.
Texans are top two in the AFC.
Uh-huh.
Skill position.
Yeah.
Lions are pretty good in the NFC.
Yeah. So Texans are top two in the AFC.
I think so.
In the NFL, are they top five?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. I think they're probably fifth.
Yeah.
Lions are up there with Gibbs, with Laporta, with Jameson Williams, with Amon-Ra. 49ers are up there. Eagles are up there. Dallas,
no.
They have
no,
they've
got nothing
game
to
right
running
now.
Back.
And who's their second receiver?
Giants, no. Commanders, no. Bears.
Cowboys' second receiver is Brandon Cooks.
Bears are
Bears
underrated.
Are pretty good.
Bears are sneaky.
Komet at tight end's pretty good.
Yeah.
Bears are sneaky. Green Bay?
Boy, if those young receivers, they got good young receivers.
I love Jaden
Reed.
They've
got,
me too.
And they got Jacobs, and they got two young tight
Green
ends.
Bay's sneaky
yeah, Green Bay
too.
Is sneaky in the top
That's
10,
probably
at
top seven-ish.
Yeah.
And then who's the other team in that division? Bears.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. They have one guy.
Yeah,
they just have one guy. That's it.
Yeah. Well, no, Addison too, right?
Yeah,
oh,
Addison's
yeah.
Really
Addison
good.
Was,
good point.
He had like 10 receiving touchdowns last
good
year.
Good point. Tampa,
and they
no.
got Hockenson.
Yeah, he's hurt, though.
He's hurt.
I don't know how long he'll be out.
I don't
maybe
know,
half
but
the
if
year.
He's there, those three guys are pretty good. The running game
Falcons,
is suspect.
Falcons could get there with Bijan and Drake London. They added Mooney.
Pitts.
Kyle Pitts, yeah.
That's not bad. Tampa, no. Saints.
No.
Nah, Kamara's a little old. I like Olave, but no. Who's the fourth? Panthers, no.
Uh-uh. Arizona?
Panthers out of it. Arizona, if you go to the West. With San Francisco, yes. Arizona, no. I mean, they lost Hollywood. They have Connor. I don't like their receiver. Yeah,
we haven't said the Rams there, right? Obviously, they bring back Puka.
Oh,
and Kyron Williams was great for them. And
Cooper Kupp's still there.
We'll see what. Yeah, we'll see what Cooper Kupp has left.
Top 10. Top 10 there.
Yeah.
I would say they're top 10.
Tight end. I forget what he was pretty good.
They're going to go with the young guy this year. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, they got rid of Tyler Higbee, right?
I think he's still on the roster, actually. But didn't he get hurt?
I thought they got rid of Higbee. Maybe he's still there.
Higbee's not going to be their starter, though. I think that young kid's going to be their starter. That was there last year, kind of came on at the end. 713-780-ESPN. Everybody's sending us how many windows they have. That was my bad. I kind of took us down that wormhole. Why not trade Woods post-draft to a team that wants depth? I don't know how much trade value Robert Woods has. You're not getting much for Robert Woods. Like, maybe you can get a seventh or a pick swap. Like, you're trying to get rid of the contract anyways.
If someone just wants to beat the waiver wire lineup and just thinks they got that's a guy they want, yeah, maybe you go a late pick, but you're not getting much for him.
Who plays slot, Diggs or Tank?
I think Tank does.
I think it's going to be mixed-matched. I don't think that Slowick really believes in inside-outside receivers. I believe he likes using receivers wherever, kind of like San Francisco does. 713-780-ESPN. What's your car wreck of the day? What are you nominating for our car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Human Resources and Payroll. They're the name you need to know. HR&P, as we know them. Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting your businesses. Business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you in HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any of those areas, all of those areas, one of those areas. It doesn't matter. Whatever you need help with, HR&P will help you. They'll create a plan for whatever you need. No boxes with HR&P. You're not ordering off a menu. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P will completely customize a plan for whatever your business needs. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you want somebody to handle your books, you want somebody to handle your payroll, they can do it all. You want to take a little off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help. Take a lot off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique, too. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always be talking to someone who knows you and knows your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Suavemente, bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suavemente, bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suave, bésame, bésame.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is Christian Javier's music. We haven't been doing this season. I think it's the reason the Astros are 1-5, quite frankly. We haven't done our part by playing the starters' music. Now that the starters' music's being played, I smell a winning streak.
I mean, the Astros starting pitchers had a dominant ERA. I mean, could they even level up from where they've been now that we're playing the music?
No, but the rest of the team can.
Consistency, too. Keep it going. Not just a one-and-done type thing. I mean, we have some songs we have to pick out for some pitchers.
Yeah. I don't know who. Like, Verlander has a song. Fromber does. J.P. France does.
I remember Verlander's. Vaguely, it was.
His is Ace of Spades.
There you go. We need one for Blanco.
Yeah, Blanco doesn't have one.
Do we have one for J.P. France?
We used. What's the one we use for him? We used one for him. It's the that one that's a commercial for that hotel.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't think. It's on the top. It's right on the tip of my tongue. I've been traveling man or whatever.
Oh, I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere.
Okay,
man. Yeah, that's the one that we use for JP.
The
Brands.
Johnny Cash one. Okay,
because he's been everywhere. It's been everywhere. So, yeah, that's the one we use for him. But that's
open. The one we need to come up with is Ronel Blanco.
Blanco for sure.
Do we do something with a song with or a band with white in it for Blanco? Something by the White Stripes?
I'm a fan of the Spanish music for the Latino pitchers.
Okay, that's fine.
Blankers, I don't think, likes that a whole lot.
No, I don't mind. This is a good song right here.
Yeah, I do. So Javier on the mound today for the Houston Astros. Chris Bassett. Hopefully Javier looks like he looked like last start. That would be a great, great
quality
thing
start from Javi tonight
for the Astros. Sure. Why not?
I think so.
Why not?
I like the way he looked last game.
He goes up against Chris Bassett tonight. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. Go from Suavemente to this.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Your phone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
I always feel like I'm in New York whenever I hear that. All right, what's your nominee for car wreck of the day, Blinkers?
Well, the easy first one is what we started the program off, or at least after the Diggs talk, and that is the Stroh's base run. Stroh's base running, Jose Altuve, Jake Myers, not good last night.
Instead of the, you know, Rene Blanco throws the cambia, the changeup, it should be something from the Cumbia Kings.
Oh.
Just saying.
Okay.
Just saying. Base running, absolutely. That was one that I had on my list, too. Myers falling straight on his face. Mm. Altuve running into a baseball.
Feels like Altuve is going to be the favorite to win this
today. Altuve trying to score on a, he thought, wild pitch. The catcher picked up on one hop, got back picked. That was terrible. Awful.
I got a good one for Blanco.
What's that?
Sheryl Crow's change will do you good.
See, I told you he didn't like the Latin.
How does that fit for Blanco?
Because the changeup. The change does him good.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The changeup. I'm going to nominate the bird flu. I saw this on.
Is it back?
I can't remember where I saw this. Is it a thing? It's the first time
I've heard right?
Oh, no. Bird flu was a thing people were scared about like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
It's back.
It's back. Okay.
The U.S. egg supplier had to halt production after a chicken tested positive. This isn't Texas farm.
Yes, it is. Yep.
I'm like, what kind of test are they giving these chickens? Are you sticking a little thing up its nose to see if it's testing positive for the bird flu? How do you find out?
They probably just draw blood, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a,
do they test
I'm
a certain
a
amount of
doctor,
eggs
but...
when they hatch? I mean, when they're out?
That's what I actually read this article because I was like, how did they find out this chicken has the flu? Didn't say. How does a chicken get the flu? 713-780-3776.
Got it when he crossed the road.
But they, okay, that's awful. Grade the joke, 713-780-3776.
You're running out of time, luckily.
1.4 for me.
Yeah, that's a bad one. I'll
probably
0.8. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Brian?
I'm going to nominate the Bills for having to give out a non-quarterback record amount of dead money trading Stephon Diggs just, a year after they extended him? They would have been better off just never extending them and letting them go. Instead, they're going to have to eat $31 million of their dead cap. So I thank them for that, but car wreck of the day nominee.
No doubt. 1-856, can we just nominate the Cowboys offseason every day? Definitely a car wreck. Cowboy fans are unhappy with the offseason.
It hasn't been good for an owner that and general manager that says they're in go-for-it mode.
He said they're all in, which got Skip Bayless dangerously close to having some a questionable tweet sent out.
You're all in on all your free agencies so far. All your free agents have been all out.
685-600 on the joke.
Yeah, it was bad. I'll admit it.
Didn't even move the needle at all. That's bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
0-0. 8835 nominates Josh Hader for the car wreck of the day.
Yeah.
See, I get it.
That
he
slider.
Was so good in the opener, but ever since then.
I saw everybody talking about the velo of his sinker is not where it was, and maybe that's true. His sinker's not gotten him into trouble, though.
No.
I mean, he was actually got the double play on the sinker yesterday.
Sinker velocity doesn't matter if you hang a slider in the middle of the plate.
Middle, right down the...
Someone told me that when he was traded from Milwaukee to San Diego, he got off to a rocky start, too, and then settled in. Let's hope so.
He didn't get traded to Colorado. Grade the joke, 713-780-3776.
Rocky start.
There you go.
My God.
You got another one?
0.0.
I think it's at least better than yours.
All right, 0.1.
It wasn't good.
0.1.
It wasn't a good joke.
Congratulations, you beat mine.
But I do think we get a little delirious late in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another car wreck, Blinkers?
I don't.
All right. I have Alex Murdaugh. Did you see this? Actually, I think it's pronounced Alex Murdaugh.
Oh, yeah, the guy that killed his wife or his wife and kid.
Yeah, it was both. Yes, both things are true. He spells his name Murdaugh.
He spells his name Murdaugh.
It's Murdaugh.
Huh. You got
pretty,
it?
That
thank
was actually
you.
Pretty good.
Okay, thank you. I can retire now.
But it's pronounced Murdaugh.
Yeah.
I don't know where he gets the CK there. I have no idea.
Well, that's like your guard from Texas. I don't know how in the hell they get the pronunciation of his
name. Oh, yeah, Max Asmus.
Yeah.
And it's spelled with a B?
Yeah.
Where'd the B go?
I have no clue how
where'd the B go?
The first time I saw his name, I was very dumbfounded when the announcer started pronouncing it the way they did.
He loaned it to us. Same. Hard same. Convicted murderer, already convicted, Alex Murdaugh got 40 more years tacked on to, I think it's a life sentence, for financial crimes. He was stealing money from all of his clients. So he's already
because he was a lawyer,
Yeah, so he's already convicted for murder. And you just get 40 years tacked on to the top of it.
Murdaugh is like Bernie Madoff. right?
In a sense. Except I don't think Bernie killed anybody.
Bernie was the Ponzi scheme. This guy was a lawyer. This guy was a lawyer.
The financial crime.
Did you watch the documentary on Murdoch?
I did. I think Netflix had two of them.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I watched them.
It was. I think they actually did two seasons. Yeah, I watched the first season. Yeah. I didn't end up watching the second season.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That was an unbelievable story.
The whole family testifying and all that stuff with his son too.
Yeah,
yeah.
On the way they caught him with the cell phone audio was
Yeah, the guy was not a good criminal.
No, he was not a good criminal.
Not a very smart man, this Alex Murdoch, which I don't even think he knows how to pronounce his name.
I know you think you'd be a good criminal. So you're saying you would do crime better than Alex Murdoch?
No doubt.
Okay. It's a low bar, but probably.
No doubt in my mind. Right. I would do crime better than Alex Murdoch. All right, what's winning the car wreck of the day today?
Pretty easy. Astros base running. If you want to specify Altuve, go right ahead.
Do we need to define between the two? Between Myers and Altuve?
Myers looked pretty ridiculous last night.
They all looked ridiculous.
But if
you get
in scoring position, you at least have a chance in that bottom of the ninth. Instead, he's like looking like he got run over by a bus.
Which one was more significant? The Myers falling down halfway to second or Altuve getting backpicked?
I think Altuve picked off a third.
Sheesh.
Whoa, Brian. Easy.
You know what? I changed my vote. Brian's our car wreck of the day. No, we got to go base running.
I earned that one.
We got to go base
running.
I'm going to give
that joke.
Altuve? Yes, that's another good nominee.
Altuve.
All right, congratulations. Altuve. Jose Altuve is going to be in the Hall of Fame, but it'll be his second favorite accolade, the car wreck of the day from the Killer Bees. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work up until the final 30 seconds. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston, from Constellation Field in Sugar Land. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, coming up right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.